So, of course, after all those sweet and touching videos, I'm going to start with this story. Maybe I've shared it before, maybe I haven't. Either way, I think it's fitting for this day. I remember when we were kids, maybe early teens or something, we went to Yosemite, and we went up on one of those mountains, and it was kind of a lookout point where you could see the valley, and I remember that when nobody was watching, I hopped over this fence and I went to the edge of the cliff. And you could see that all around us, it was a sheer cliff. It went straight down for, you know, hundreds of feet. But where I was, about 4 feet down, there was a little bit of a ledge that a person could stand on. And of course, the only thing that I could come up with doing in that moment was, and I turned around and I yelled, "Hey mom," and not like, "Hey dad," or not like, "Hey everybody," but I knew that I could get a reaction out of her, and I said, "Hey mom," and then I jumped. And as soon as my feet left the ledge, I remember just the realization of what a dumb idea that was just hit me, and I could hear screaming in the background. And of course, I landed on the ledge 4 feet down, and then I popped back up. And mom was freaking out. The people there were freaking out. But I was thinking about that situation because of all the things that we put our mothers through, all the things that we put our moms through growing up, even though they're such an integral part of who we are as we grow up. I remember my mom, you know, she was the one who would get us ready to go to church on Sunday mornings. You know, she was the one who would teach us songs, me and Flavio, to sing in church together. She was the one who made sure that we prayed and we read our Bible. She was the one who laid our spiritual foundation. And it's the reason that I am who I am. It's the reason that my brother is who he is. It's the reason that probably most of us here are who we are, because of the foundation that our moms laid. And we need moms to be moms. And we need our moms to be godly moms. And I think a great example in scripture is Hannah. So if you want to flip open to 1 Samuel chapter 1, I just want to run through the first chapter and just share a couple quick thoughts about the kind of moms that we need here in Emmanuel Church. Here in 2020, with everything that's happening, everything that's going around, just I want to talk about the kind of moms that we need to have in Emmanuel Church. The first couple verses, we see that there was a man named Elkanah, and he had two wives. One was Peninna, who had children, and the other was Hannah. And Hannah wasn't able to have children. And this was really painful for her. And it was even more painful that the other wife, Peninna, used to taunt her about the fact that she couldn't have any children. That Peninna had lots of children and Hannah had none. And it brings me to the first point, that what we need here at Emmanuel Church is to have moms who model a gentle spirit. This is what it says starting in verse 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 7. It says, "Her rival," this is Peninna, "would taunt her severely just to provoke her, because the Lord had kept Hannah from conceiving. Year after year, when she went up to the Lord's house, her rival taunted her in this way. Hannah would weep and would not eat." It's not easy to remain gentle under the best circumstances, right? But it's even harder to remain gentle and to not give in to anger, to not give in to bitterness when you're in pain. The natural reaction when you're being taunted, the natural reaction when somebody is being malicious towards you, is to hit back, right? Is to hit back, to hurt the other person just like that person is hurting you, to make sure that they feel the pain that you're feeling. That's our natural reaction. It's so much more difficult to have a gentle spirit, to model a gentle spirit, because Jesus tells us, somebody strikes you on one cheek, turn that other cheek. Somebody asks for your shirt, give them your jacket as well. Somebody asks you to go a mile with them, go that extra mile. It's not easy. It's not easy to be gentle. It's not easy to model that way of living. And it's even harder when somebody is actively and maliciously taunting you, like Peninnah was taunting Hannah, reminding you of the pain that you're experiencing every day, pushing you even further into that pain. And it reminded me of Galatians chapter 22, verses 22 through 26, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy." And then these next ones are key. It says, "Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also live in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So even though I said we need mothers with a gentle spirit, mothers who model a gentle spirit, maybe the better way of saying it is that we need mothers who model a fullness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Love and joy, those first two fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned, they seem to be, you know, the characteristics of happy times. But the other seven seem to indicate, you know, the more difficult times that maybe we face on a more consistent basis. So what I want to say is that Emmanuel Church, that us as a group of believers, we need mothers who model this gentle spirit that doesn't retaliate, that doesn't always fight back, that doesn't always strike back, that doesn't always seek to inflict pain when they are going through pain. We need mothers who are full of the Holy Spirit and model this fullness for their children, for their husbands, and for the church. The second thing, this next point, it's kind of a long title, so hang on. Let me just read it out to you guys. We need mothers who model an understanding spirit with their well-meaning but sometimes clueless husbands. I'm sure if we had more mothers here, they would give us a resounding amen over here. But we read in verse 8, Hannah's husband, Elkanah, sees that Hannah is in pain. He sees that she's crying. He sees that she's not eating. So he decides, as most husbands do, to swoop in and fix the situation. And it is one of the most amazing verses you will find in Scripture. This is Elkanah's response. He says, "Hannah, why are you crying? I know you can't have kids. I know you're, you know, what some people would call barren. I know you don't have anybody to love like mothers want to do, anybody to love you back, any children to play with. I know you don't have any of that. I know that Peninnah is taunting you. I know that in our culture, you seem like less of a woman because you don't have. I know all these things are going on. But why are you crying?" This is his answer. Her husband, Elkanah, would ask, "Why don't you eat? Why are you troubled? Am I not better than 10 sons?" You got me, Hannah. You have me. And I'm sure when Elkanah thought this up, he probably patted himself on the back and said, "Yep, solved it. Problem resolved." So I'm not going to go into depth with that one. For that, I just want to say, mothers, thank you for dealing with us. Thank you for dealing with us, husbands. Thank you for dealing with us, fathers. Thank you for honoring us and submitting to us as Scripture asks you to do, even when we miss it, even when we're kind of far off the mark. And more than anything, thank you for praying for us. The third thing is we need mothers who model living what it's like to live as a prayer warrior. Here's what it says in verses 9 through 11. "On one occasion, Hannah got up from after they ate and drank at Shiloh. The priest Eli was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept many tears. Making a vow, she pleaded, 'Lord of armies, if you will take note of your servant's affliction, remember, not forget me, and give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut.'" This was Hannah's way of dealing with life. If she had a problem, she went to God in prayer. If she had questions, she went to God in prayer. If she was being challenged, if she was being tested, she went to God in prayer. And Proverbs 22, verse 6, specifically relating to mothers and children or parents and children, says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." So what better skill could mothers teach their children? What better life lesson could a mother give to her children than to pray unceasingly, and to be a warrior who, no matter what life throws at them, they always know that they can go to God in prayer? We need mothers who also model what it's like to not be preoccupied with what the world thinks of you or says about you. We see this in verses 12 through 16. It says that while Hannah was praying in the Lord's presence, Eli, the priest, watched her, and he watched her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, and though her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard. Eli thought that she was drunk, and he said to her, "How long are you going to be drunk? Get rid of your wine." And Hannah said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman with a broken heart. I haven't had any wine or beer. I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Don't think of me as a wicked woman. I've been praying from the depth of my anguish and resentment." So we need mothers who are not preoccupied with what other people think about them, what the world thinks about them. We need mothers who value doing right more than they value doing the popular thing. We need mothers who value their relationship with God more than potential ridicule of the world. And we need mothers who are more concerned with what God thinks than with what people thinks, or with what people think. And then the last thing, the last thought that I wanna leave you with, and the kind of mothers that we need as a body of believers, is mothers who give their children to God. From verses 21 through 28, we see some sort of variation of this statement three times. In verse 22, Hannah says, after the child, that the Lord answered her prayer, gave her a child. And Hannah says that after the child will be weaned, I'll take him to appear in the Lord's presence and stay there permanently. In verse 24, she says, though the boy was still young, Hannah took him to the Lord's house. So when Samuel was still a young boy, Hannah already started taking him to the Lord's house. And verse 28 says, I now give the boy to the Lord, for as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. So this boy that she prayed for years, this boy that because she didn't have him, it caused so much pain in her life. She now, because the Lord answered her prayer, she is ready to give her child to the Lord. So what we need in Emmanuel Church is we need mothers for whom God is more important than their children. I know that the temptation sometimes is for mothers especially, to make their children their everything, to make their children the most important things in their lives, to sacrifice everything for the sake of their children, and sometimes even to sacrifice church. But what we truly need are mothers like Hannah, for whom even God is more important than their children. Because we have a lot of mothers who try to be more of a friend to their kids than an actual parent. And the reality is that your kids will have dozens, maybe even hundreds of friends throughout their lifetime, but they will only have one mother. They will only have one you. So if you love them, discipline them, even at the risk of losing your cool mom cred. And lastly, we need mothers who give their children to God and not to the world. So mothers, I want to encourage you. There's a lot going on. There's a lot that you have to deal with on a daily basis. There's a lot that you have to think about. There's a lot that you have to plan for. There's a lot that you have to strategize for. But I want to encourage you and remind you, take your children to church on a consistent and regular basis. Build up the habits that will expose your children to the gospel and give them that shot of giving their lives to Christ. Teach them the Bible. Teach them Bible verses from when they're young. Teach them worship songs. Sing with them. Worship with them. Pray to the Lord with them. And teach them how to revolve their lives around God and God's people. I want to say that I love you, Mom. I want to tell my wife, Naomi, that I love her and that she is the most wonderful mom to our little boy. The amount of effort and the amount of energy that she pours into him to teach him to pray, to teach him the alphabet, to teach him numbers, just to make sure that he is a boy who loves God and loves people is incredible. And I know that all mothers do that. You are the unsung heroes of our world. We love you, we're praying for you, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I pray that God blesses each and every single mother of Emmanuel Church. Amen.